Hey, what's up, guys? It's Mike Lynch.
What's going on? This is Rashad.
This is the Sports Sunday Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. It is now brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers.
Doing the right thing since 1952. Kick the tires and light
the
fires, Big Daddy.
The matchups, the superstars, the games.
Starting defense, place at the table. Wow!
This is Football Sunday on The Fan, a comprehensive look at today's National Football League action with your hosts Mike Lynch and Rashad Taylor.
You all know what you have to do. Remember, no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house and pushes us around.
This is Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
One final hour for us here today. Mike and Rashad and Jesse with you till 11 o'clock talking some superb owl. And spend some time on the Pats. Hour number one, you can catch it on the Les Schwab Tires podcast, 1080thefan.com, radio.com, iTunes, etc., wherever you find the podcast after the show. We got Hit It and Love It coming up at 10:30. And we got to talk some Rams here. Remember, you can text the Better You Today text line at 55305. Got a lot of texts today so far, so appreciate you guys listening and interacting with us. And it is a big show, Super Bowl show. And let's dive into the Rams because we went long last segment, which is not shocking. And I want to start with the Todd Gurley thing.
That's what she said.
I was trying
normally
to get to
that's
one.
Not what she said, but I'll take it.
Yeah, she said that too. See, I'm really good at this joke.
Man. You're great at this joke. Everyone's good at that joke, though.
Man, it's all about timing.
It is, and phrasing. And so let's talk about the Rams. I want to talk about the Todd Gurley thing because I'm still not 100% sold that Sean McVay is telling us the truth about Todd Gurley.
He's not.
Because in that game against the Saints, he dropped a pass that led to an interception or had to go through his hands. He had a ball go through his hands on another pass attempt that would have been a first down on a very important third and four or six or whatever it was earlier in the game. He missed at least one, if not two, major blocks in the backfield. And then he didn't play the rest of the game. It was a CJ Anderson show. And I'm sitting here going, did he just bench Todd Gurley for the game in the NFC title game? Your best player. And I don't think it's even arguable. He's your best player. Did Sean McVay really just bench him because he had a couple of bad plays in the first quarter? And then everyone's talking about the injuries, but Sean McVay kept saying he wasn't hurt and that he wasn't even benched. He was available. He just kept saying he was available. So then what's the deal with that? What's going on with Todd Gurley? Is he going to play? He should play, right? He's their best player.
He definitely should play. It's the Super Bowl. And I mean, mind you, I don't know the severity of his injury that, you know, Sean McVay is not letting us know about at this point. But when CJ Anderson, you know, has 16 carries and, you know, I'm saying you have four, that's, I mean, you're not going to be able to tell me that the best running back in the league is just, oh, he's okay. We just decided to work out CJ, sign and work out CJ Anderson and then put him into the starting lineup and let him do work in the NFC Championship. No, like you did that because you were nervous and rightfully so, because without having Todd Gurley there, there was no chance that you beat the Saints. And so luckily CJ Anderson came out and had, you know, okay. He's played okay over the past, you know, couple games, but you can tell Gurley's not right. As soon as he dropped that pass, you're like, okay, there's something wrong here. You know, he's laboring out there, and he's thinking too much about things. Todd Gurley gets that ball, and it's the house. You know, he had one play in the two games that he just had, you know, that burst and was able to kind of show. And then you're like, okay, there he is. He's good. He's fine. And then where was it after that? You know, so I don't know. I think he's not right, and I think that sucks if you're a Rams fan right now, because you definitely need to be at full strength offensively to go against this Patriots.
He's got 2 weeks off.
Yeah, so I mean,
you got 3 weeks off,
yeah,
right?
So he might be good at this point, but I don't think so. You know,
so you're saying it's an injury.
I think he's hurt. I mean, honestly, I don't know,
because he was hurt towards the end of the regular season, and they gave him a week or two as like rest weeks where he didn't play because he was suffering from like a calf injury or something, but he played in the AFC divisional game or the NFC divisional game, played well, right? Had 100 yards on, mm-hmm. on 19 carries or whatever it was. And that, then all of a sudden he doesn't play. It's just strange. And I think if the Rams are going to win this game, you have to have Todd Gurley. I know CJ Anderson has played actually exceptionally well in his stead, but you need Todd Gurley on the field. He is your best player. He is the main reason, in my opinion, that you are at this far this season, because he has been a workhorse for you. Multiple 3-touchdown games, always catching the ball out of the backfield. You got to use him. And I get that CJ Anderson gives you a different look, and I'm sure you'll see plenty of CJ Anderson today because it just keeps Gurley fresh, but Gurley has to play.
Yeah,
and I think Gurley needs to get 20, 25 touches in this game. I believe that.
And anything less than that would be crazy. Now, mind you, he had 16 in the game against Dallas, and then he had, I believe it was 10 carries in the game against the Saints. So,
but they were not good carries.
No, they weren't good carries. And he had one run against Dallas, and I think that was the run I'm talking about, where he showed that burst. It. Like, man, okay, everything is okay with Todd Gurley. And then, you know, without that long run, you know, he doesn't break 100 yards, you know, for that game. And so, I don't know. I don't know if Gurley's good. I know C.J. Anderson is a very good running back and has been for a while. So he's a little pudgier than I'm used to seeing him be. But it worked, and it worked for him. It's almost kind of like a bowling ball, you know, for the team right now. But Todd Gurley definitely needs to be on the field. If he can't be on the field, I just don't. Just not just for what he does, you know, running the ball, but what he's able to do out of the backfield, what he's able to do as a pass blocker, what he's able to do catching the ball. Like, if he can't do that, then I don't know. I don't really trust C.J. Anderson to fill a Todd Gurley role.
The only reason I'm not sure he's hurt is that I'm not going to try to misquote this because there's definitely a curse word in it too. But I remember after the game, they asked him in the press conference, why didn't you get more touches? And he goes, because I sucked, or something like that. And he did. He played awful in the NFC title game. It's just weird to me to see a guy, even if he has a couple bad drives, and it was only a couple of drives that he played badly, to see a team go away from a guy like that. But the thing in Super Bowls is you've got great offenses, and occasionally you'll get really high scoring games. Last year, as an example, the Falcons Ravens or the Falcons Patriots game, as an example, you'll get really high scoring games. But oftentimes, as we alluded to earlier, you need to run the football, mm-hmm. just run the ball. And Sean McVay is a really good coach. He's a really good game planner, and he comes up with really interesting things. But I'm curious, in a game like this against a team like the Patriots, who have been there so many times, do you just say, I know we need to run the ball, and you give Todd Gurley that chance to be the impact playmaker that he's been all year? And I think that's just what needs to happen. All right, we're back on time. We're caught up. Next, the biggest weakness for the Rams is at the most vital position. Can Jared Goff play well enough to out-duel Tom Brady? That's next, Football Sunday in the Fan.
Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Sometimes you got to be more specific in categories.
Man, but that one should have won.
Business associate, is that a work title?
It's a title. It didn't have to. I don't know if it had to be work title, but yeah, I think it could be. Yeah,
because B is like bartender. That's
yeah,
a title.
But you know, business associate, it can definitely be a work
think
title.
About bartender.
Somebody else put that.
Well, you could have been the first one to put it.
No, yeah.
No,
but
I
mean,
you lose it if someone else.
Yeah, somebody else has it. You know, we're talking about Scattergories.
Yeah, so. Because that ad just said that's the way to ruin a family. I'm like, what are you talking about? Scattergories is great. It's one of my favorite games ever. The way the little timer starts ticking, you start panicking as you're writing out things. Can I think of a double word? What is two peas? And is a food? Pomegranate.
Peter Pan peanut butter.
Yeah. Oh, it's a triple.
Mm-hmm. There you go. You. See, that's why I'm good at this
Look
game.
At you.
That's why I'm good at this game.
That was a good one. Let's talk about Jared Goff, or golf, however you'd like to say it.
Get this man's name right. Like, it's so, there's no L. Like, it's,
you know,
Goff.
I've noticed so many people say it that way too. Troy
so
Aikman,
weird.
He says golf. Man. Suk, obviously, is where we're talking about. He says golf. People just say it. I've heard it all. I don't know why. Is it really that hard to say OFF? It's off.
Yeah,
Goff.
It's a Goff. It's Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Get the man's name
put
right.
Put the G in front of an OFF.
Put some respect on his name.
And it's Goff.
Man.
So it's interesting to say that he is the biggest weakness on this Rams team, but I honestly truly believe that. You think about an offensive line on LA that is exceptional and has not been hurt all year. We talked about the running game. Even without Todd Gurley, it's been good. You've got a couple of really solid receivers. You've got a decent tight end game. And your defense, although it struggled most of the year, it has great players all over the field. So your biggest weakness is Jared Goff. And I think the thing about Goff that gets people the most nervous is that occasionally, even with all the help he gets from Sean McVay and the quick hurry-up stuff that they do, occasionally he just makes one of those throws where you go, what are you doing? And occasionally he makes exceptional throws, like you saw him make to Brandon Cooks against the Saints, deep down the left sideline that got him into the red zone, five-yard line last week. He's so good and so mediocre at the same time. And when you have a quarterback like that and you're going up against Tom Brady, who for the most part you think will play really well, that's a big concern. I think the Rams are a better team across the board. I really do. I think almost every position favors the Rams, in my opinion. But when it comes down to the quarterback position, it's not even close. And that would be the reason why the Rams would lose this game today.
So you say Goff's a weakness, and I mean...
He's a strength and a weakness at the same time.
I mean, I'm...
He's an enigma.
You know, his 4,600 yards are fourth in the league. His 32 touchdowns are tied for sixth in the league. He's thrown 12 picks on the season, and that has him 20th. So that means he's one of the better quarterbacks as far as taking care of the football. If that's your weakness, then you're in pretty damn good shape, because Jared Goff is a great young quarterback who was almost ruined by Jeff Fisher. And would have been in that long line of quarterbacks, much like Nick Foles and some others who just had their entire career crushed due to a bad coach. Jared Goff has done really nothing this year but produce. And even last year, going into last year, he had, you know, a pretty good second season. You know, I'm looking at a kid now who's looks like they're ready to take the mantle. You know, mind you, coming in his first Super Bowl, if we're comparing quarterbacks, man, he was way further along than Brady was. Like, if we're really comparing quarterbacks, then you can look at these teams and say, man, Goff's defense is what keeps him in this game or keeps him, you know, relevant. But, man, Goff's offense and the guys and the weapons that he has to work with, Brady never had some of those weapons early in his career. It was that Patriots defense that was great. Well, now here Jared Goff has a great defense behind him. Then he has all these toys to play with on offense. Man, if you look at their, man, first Super Bowl run, you tell me why Jared Goff can't beat this Patriots team. I mean, I'm a Pats fan, and I'm going to sit here and agree with you. Man, outside of head coach and quarterback, the check goes to the Rams in almost every category. Offensive line, check. You know, running back, if Gurley is healthy, check. Wide receivers, check. Tight end, Patriots, advantage Patriots. Defensive line, Rams.
You don't like Higbee?
No, sorry. Defensive line, Rams, linebackers, Rams, DBs, Rams, check, check, check. You know, but the one thing they have is special teams, Rams. You know, the one thing the Patriots have, they have a better quarterback, they have a better head coach, and from there they can kind of figure things out.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Rashad on this. I think he's done enough this season. I think the couple times he's not shown up, there's been the you had to reacclimate to not having your favorite target in Cooper Kupp. You had to reacclimate to playing the best defense in the league without having your number one player in Todd Gurley, and you didn't have a guy behind him and a guy like C.J. Anderson, and your offense just stalls when it is all on your shoulders.
You talking about the Bears game?
Bears game, yes. Mm-hmm. So you take that game away, Goff actually had, I agree, he had a great season. The numbers kind of show it. He's had to overcome some adversity this season, and I think that kind of is just more proof that he is a guy that's kind of up to the challenge. You see what he did last week, two weeks ago, in that NFC Championship game. He made a handful of throws that if he doesn't make those throws, they don't win the game. And he went toe-to-toe with Drew Brees.
And he also helped fight through the sound.
Yes, stuff, big in that.
Where, I mean, I think a lot of quarterbacks, even great ones, would have been completely rattled. And I remember the play, which was so strange, of him running all the way out to the receiver. and talking in his ear, and then sprinting back to the behind the center. And I can't remember if that play worked. I think they actually called a timeout because he ran so far.
They did
away.
Call a timeout,
but it was just one of those where he still had control. It felt like, although you do have to say that Sean McVay has control too because of the way that they set it up. Sean McVay can talk to him until the 15-second mark. So Sean McVay reads that defense with him. And it's not all on McVay. I read a really interesting article. It was the Monday Morning Quarterback with Peter King. Sat with Sean McVay on his car ride in on the last day that they were in L.A. before they went to Atlanta. And he was talking about a specific play. It was an out, like a slant out that Brandon Cooks ran. And it was a deep completion that helped the Rams come back in that game. And that play is not normally run that way, but Goff had seen the defense and told McVay earlier in the game, hey, I really want Cooks to run a slant out next time we see that. And he listened to him, and he told Goff the play call. It was that play. Cooks was wide open. He had the perfect throw. It was great. So it is a lot of McVay, but it's not like Goff is just a puppet just following instructions every single time.
No, they're a think tank. They're at the line of scrimmage. It's you don't have to just beat Goff. You don't have to just beat McVay. You have to beat Goff and McVay. And I imagine that there's a big element of that as well with the New England sideline between Belichick and Brady. You know, it just doesn't get talked about because, you know, Brady probably doesn't need to talk to Belichick as much as he does on every play. But I imagine that they're still in there chatting it up every play.
Probably true. And in terms of my opinion on this, I mean, I'm bringing this up as a topic because it is, I still think it's true that Goff is the weak link on the Rams. I think Goff has what it takes to do it in this game. There might be a little bit of those jitters in the beginning. You see that with younger quarterbacks, their first Super Bowl or their first big game, title game. Trevor Lawrence did it for Clemson this year, mm-hmm. where all their throws are way too fast, and they're so amped up that they can't really control themselves for a drive or two. I could imagine that we see that from Jared Goff. But in my opinion, I think what we saw in the second half and the fourth quarter, especially from Goff last week against the Saints, was almost like a butterfly learning to fly. He broke out of the cocoon. He's been great as a caterpillar.
And now he's a beautiful butterfly.
This got really strange. He's been great as a caterpillar. He went into the cocoon in the playoffs where he had to grow into a playoff butterfly. And in the fourth quarter of last week's game is when he reached that status where he's now just a playoff butterfly. I'm going to keep going with it. Don't laugh at me. And that fourth quarter was exceptional. He played so well. He commanded the line of scrimmage. He was accurate with all of his throws. And I think you're going to see that again this game. And I think that him being a weakness will no longer be a storyline because I think you're going to see him play well. That's just my opinion.
You know, this and we just got a text here on the Better You Today text line, and I kind of agree with it in the sense that, you know, really a lot of pressure can be taken off of Goff based on the defense. You know, if this Rams defense can make Brady dance – and make him move and, you know, get him nervous and moving up and down the pocket, then I think they have a great chance to do that. And really, if the defense plays well, then the pressure's off of Goff. All he has to do is go out there and get one of his 35 receivers involved in the game, you know. And so I think that will be much easier for him to do if he doesn't have to play from behind. If he's playing from behind, he's not Patrick Mahomes, you know, in the sense that where he can be a very creative quarterback and throw the ball as he's falling on the ground, you know, throw it with his offhand and still make plays. That's not his game. And to be fair, I don't think it's anybody's game but Patrick Mahomes, you know, at this point. So if this defense can, if Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh and company can make it uncomfortable for Brady, then it's easy sell for him. Look at Nick Foles. Look at what that defense from Philadelphia did last year to the Patriots. They made Tom Brady nervous early, and then they were able to put some points in the
board. Yeah, look at most of the Patriots' losses in Super Bowls and think about the teams that they lost to. Or, hell, playoff losses, right? Because you can include Von Miller on Denver mm-hmm. in that. Those Giants' defenses were so nasty at getting to the quarterback. You know, I'm sure some of these guys didn't play in those, but I'm thinking like Michael Strahan.
No, Strahan was there. Jason Pierre-Paul.
Human Yura. Yeah.
I mean, those guys, Yura, forgot all about that guy. Jeez.
Those guys were great, had a great defensive line, and they got to Brady. If Brady gets pressured, he loses games. It's just that simple. It's actually kind of been that way in the regular season, too. If he gets pressured, he loses games. He's not mobile enough to get away from that, especially at this age, and that is a great point from one of our texters there.
Yeah, I think you're going to need you're going to need Aaron Donald to kind of do what he hasn't really been doing in the playoffs and kind of be more of that regular season guy. He hasn't been huge in the playoffs. So he's going to need to get to Brady. I think, was it Dante Fowler Jr. off the edge is going to need to get to Brady. And I think Sue's going to need to be in there to stop Sony Michel. And if those three can do that along the defensive line and control the line of scrimmage, I think this is going to be a really rough game for the Patriots. So it's literally, I think their defense is on those three guys.
And there's also stats that Brady hasn't really been pressured up the middle in the last couple of games, which is a big key as well. All right, let's get to break. Coming up next, we got Hate It or Love It. And first, Jesse at SportsCenter.
Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
All right, that music means it is time for Hate It or Love It. I'm assuming Rashad won last week.
I think I did. I did pretty well. Lots of points. There was no...
no competition.
I gave him all the points in the beginning. I just, you know...
You just spam the button.
I just... That's what I did last week.
So those are for me. As you just guessed. I'm just curious. I'm just asking. I want to make sure.
All right, Jesse. I'm assuming we're doing all Super Bowl edition.
All Super Bowl football, whatever, some way, shape, or form related to Patriots, Rams, something like that. I mean, it could be.
You sound really confident about
related to the MVP. I got a lot of different things on here, just based on MVP. I got one on Mahomes or whatever, but a lot of. We'll just start here, and this is, I think, where the biggest question mark is as far as the game, where people don't really know what's going to happen, and that's the backfield of the LA Rams. Everybody obviously expecting Todd Gurley to come out, maybe have a big game because he's been the MVP for this team for. Basically the first 12 games of the season before that knee really started to bug him. And then CJ Anderson kind of came in and Gurley almost took a back seat to him here in the playoffs. Love or hate, CJ Anderson will out-touch Todd Gurley in the Super Bowl.
I'm going to say hate because I don't think he can if the Rams are going to win the game. I think that Todd Gurley needs to out-touch C.J. Anderson. He needs to be a main focal point of this Rams offense if LA is going to win the game. He does so much for the team. I saw a stat just on NFL Network right now that C.J. Anderson, like 98% of his runs have come between the tackles. So he is a one-trick pony at the moment. It worked really, really well last week. So I'm not going to blame the Rams for doing it. But if you want to run the ball to the outside, if you want a guy who's going to catch passes out of the backfield, you need Todd Gurley in this game. And you need to have a guy who can be all over the field for you. Plus, he's just stinking better than CJ Anderson. I know Anderson's played well, but Gurley is better. It's just the truth. So, to me, he has to out-touch CJ Anderson if they're going to win the game. And I think he will.
Yeah, that was a layup for Lynch. I love that he has to touch the ball more than CJ Anderson. We, at no point, have we ever called CJ Anderson the best running back in the league. We've never said C.J. Anderson is among the best running backs in the league. We've never said C.J. Anderson is somebody that's going to change your franchise's fortunes. He came in for the one game against Dallas, had a very good game with the 100 yards that nobody really saw coming. The next week had a marginal game. Even with 20 touches, he still just did okay. If the Rams plan on winning anything, they're going to need Todd Gurley to be the dynamic running back that he is, catching balls out of the backfield, making sure he can pass block as well as possible, and also being a legit threat, really as a wide receiver. You, especially in the absence of Cooper Kupp, they tried to go to him a little bit more. And so if he's going to be in this game, he can't be a decoy. He can't be somebody that's just there to kind of make sure that you throw off the scent for the pass coming. He's got to be somebody that's got to be incredibly involved in this game today. So if he's not, C.J. Anderson better be all world. I mean, he better be James White. He better be Marshall Faulk, the greatest running back that you've seen in a Super Bowl, because that's exactly what this team is going to need if they're going to beat the Patriots.
Honestly, I could see C.J. out-touching Gurley, them kind of running it the same way the Patriots have been running Sony Michel, kind of using him as the bowling ball wrecking through the defensive line, and then you bring in Gurley, kind of like the Burkhead James White type character. Use him more in the passing game. Use him on the edge rushes. But you know, in the AFC Championship game, I think in the end you were like, did they just give up on Sony Michel? And then you realize that Sony Michel had like 29 rushes in that game, right, or whatever. You're like, oh no, he's just done. Okay, moving on. This one is a Tom Brady one where I think we all know that Tom Brady's not retiring after this year. He ended that speculation, said it is not happening. He plans to play more, and he keeps saying this every year. Love or hate, Brady will leave the game too late rather than a little bit early. And remember, everybody says it's better to leave a little bit early than too late.
I'm going
to
say hate on this one for two reasons. A, I think Tom Brady knows that. I think Tom Brady knows when the end is going to be for him. Clearly, he knows better than us because we've been calling it the end for Tom Brady for like 5 years. And yet here he is in the Super Bowl again, still having good seasons, still having good regular season stats as well. So it's either going to be that he knows well enough that he's going to be able to pull the plug just in the right time, walk off into the sunset, if you will, or B, he'll never have that moment. He'll always be this good. And when he decides to retire, whenever that may be, he will still be good. And even if they don't win that year's Super Bowl, he'll still have a good year and they'll get the playoffs. And then he'll realize, you know what? I want to spend more time with my kids. I want to spend more time with Giselle. And that's it. I think Tom Brady is above playing until he's not good enough. He's above the Michael Jordan to the Wizards thing. I think he's that good. I think that the quarterback position in general, it's easier to be good for longer as long as you stay healthy, which Brady has been very healthy throughout his career, minus the one major injury, especially with his arms. You know, Peyton Manning couldn't feel his fingers. That's why he couldn't throw the ball after a while. But a quarterback, as long as you're healthy, you can still be an effective quarterback. So I just don't think he's going to get to that point in his career where he is hanging on for too long. So he'll either make the smart decision and go out on top, or even if he goes out after a loss, it won't be deemed as he hung on too long.
I love the fact that he'll hang on till he feels like he can't play anymore, basically. Brady's not going to be one of those guys that's forced out. Robert Kraft made it abundantly clear that you're going to be a Patriot. You're going to stay here. He's going to be Tim Duncan. He's going to be Kobe Bryant, one of these guys that plays for 20 years and plays with one franchise and wins. You know, he already has the five championships that those guys has. He's going to have an opportunity to become the greatest player of all time, and then possibly an opportunity to come back again and do it next year, because the AFC East isn't getting any stronger, and that's six wins right there that you're going to have, you know, for the most part every year, barring some type of, you know, weird lateral play, you know, at the end of a game. This is a guy who, again, I mentioned it earlier, who loves habit, you know, who makes sure he doesn't drink during the off season. He sleeps in the hyperbaric chamber, I believe. His life is very private. For his wife being the supermodel, and what do we know about Brady? Not much, you know, everything. He's done a really good job. His camp has done a great job of keeping inside. So I think because of those things, he doesn't have a lot of outside distractions. He doesn't have a lot of those extra things that take people away from the game. For him, it's football, it's family, and then rinse, repeat. And so I think for guys like that, and also he doesn't get hit a whole lot. For, you know, for Brady not being as mobile as he is, he doesn't take a whole lot of sacks. And that's with an offensive line that isn't super great. So because of that, like Lynch was saying, he's been relatively healthy for most of his career. And when you're not dealing with nagging injuries like Peyton or like Drew Brees or any of those guys, it makes it much easier for you to do that.
All right. I very much think the number one thing there is the health. I think you guys are right. He's done such a good job. He focuses more than anybody on maintaining that health, you know, the TB12 program, all that kind of stuff. And I agree with Lynch that, you know, Manning doesn't have that neck injury. It's quite possible Manning is still playing today. He just couldn't feel his arm or his hand. So health, big issue. Kind of changed my mind on that. I honestly went into that thinking, yeah, no, this guy's going to hold on too long. It's kind of going to be that Manning season for him the last year. But kind of changed my mind on that. I think I am also on the hate bandwagon for that as well. And we will move on to, I think this is, we're going to stick with the Patriots. Tom Brady has not been sacked in the postseason. And then we have the Defensive Player of the Year, Aaron Donald, 20 and a half sacks this season. You got Ndamukong Suh on that line. You got Dante Fowler Jr. on that line. Love or hate, The Rams will not only sack Brady, but they will sack him at least two times in the game.
Ooh. Sorry, hold on. I know I have to go first. I had to cough. I'm going to love that. I think the Rams' defensive line is that much better than anything that the Patriots have seen so far in these playoffs. Watching Aaron Donald, they'll occasionally show spotlights of him. He'll have double teams. He'll have guys hedging on him. A center kind of moves over and bumps him out of the way before blocking someone else. It doesn't matter. He's getting through the line almost every single time. It does not matter. And that's just talking about one player, Aaron Donald. We talked about Ndamukong Suh a little bit earlier this year. He's very good against the run. Portland native, first time in the Super Bowl. I know he's had a little bit of an iffy history in his career with some negative stuff, but you know, rooting for the hometown kid there. You mentioned Dante Fowler, who had a really good game in the NFC title game and has been an impact player since getting him from the Jaguars. I know the Patriots' offensive line has been good, but I really, truly believe, hell, even some corner blitzes can come, the linebackers or anything. I think you're going to see Brady getting chased around quite a bit in this game. You're not going to see him comfortable in the pocket. You're not going to see him easily finding Edelman or Hogan or Gronk. He's going to have to move. And because of that, I think the Rams are going to have the advantage in this game as long as Goff plays like I think he will, because they're going to force some punts from the Pats because Brady's not going to have that much time to really dissect the plays that are going on. This defense was built for this. They signed a bunch of these guys as free agents for this. They were going for it now. They paid a bunch of guys a bunch of money, and everyone went, what are the Rams doing? Oh, they're going for it for this game. The Rams defense has been iffy all year. It showed up in the playoffs. It's going to show up again tonight.
Man, I love it. I could see it happening multiple times. I could see this being one of those games, kind of like the first Giants-Patriots Super Bowl. This just they got to Brady over and over and over and just kept touching him. Because I see a lot of that that nastiness the Giants had on their defensive line, on the defensive line of the Rams. You talk about O.C. Umeniura and Michael Strahan and Jason Pierre-Paul. Well, then you look on the other side for this Rams team, you see Michael Brockers, and you see Ndamukong Suh, and you see Aaron Donald, and you see Akeem Talib, and Marcus Peters, and Sam Shields, and it's like, well, damn, man, it's coming from all directions. We talked about it a little earlier, and if you look at the defense, man, it's check everybody on this Rams defense, so it can come from anywhere. And, you know, again, Dante Fowler and John Johnson, they have an amazing defense from top to bottom. So, yes, I can absolutely see them getting to Brady. And the one thing to make Brady uncomfortable is to get him dancing. And you said earlier they haven't been attacked up the middle. You know, for whatever reason, nobody's rushed a few up the middle to try to get at Brady. And so he's had a lot of time to throw. I believe that Ndamukong Suh lives with, you know, rushing up the middle. And that's exactly what Aaron Donald does best, even when he's double teamed. So, absolutely, I think they'll get 3, possibly 4 sacks in this game.
All right.
That sucks to say.
Yeah, no, he's going to get sacked in this game. There's no way Brady makes it through the entire playoffs without getting sacked. That happens. That's going to be one of the – that's amazing.
If he does, they win the Super Bowls. That's
simple. Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Well, with that said, the winner today goes to Rashad.
That's just one win today. And we're going for one more, starting at 3:30.
Start that a little early.
Well, I'm glad to know that we have it. There are some Hall of Fame guys that went in. Probably the best defensive class of Hall of Fame, at least that I can remember. So we'll talk about some of those guys next, right here on The Fan.
Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
This music can only mean good things. That means that, number one, I, Rashad Taylor, was able to walk away with the W today.
Was it even close,
for
Jesse?
Hater Love It.
You didn't say
it
like,
sounded close.
You didn't say how many points. I felt
it wasn't very close.
It wasn't even close.
No, he won by a couple points.
That sounds good. Say it one more time.
He won by a few points.
All right. That's awesome. Take that, Lynch. So,
work for you. You got to host.
I guess the one thing that we didn't talk about today, and we kind of talked about it a little bit, Hall of Fame was announced yesterday. And
so were the awards, by the way.
And so were the awards. Patrick Mahomes walking away with Most Valuable Player and Offensive Player of the Year. Saquon Barkley walking away with the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Aaron Donald, you know, surprise, surprise, walked away with the Defensive Player of the Year for the second year in a row. None of those things were really a surprise to anyone, were they? Were you surprised by any of those awards?
Nope.
Like, I mean, I think there were some people that kind of feel like it could have been Baker Mayfield that was the Offensive Player of the Year. But
didn't play the whole year.
Saquon Barkley was clearly the best rookie to come out this year. So.
He was amazing. No, he was awesome. I said the word exceptional a lot today. He was amazing.
No, he was the one shining spot for the Giants this year. Like, everything about the Giants, including Odell Beckham Jr., was meh this year. And Saquon Barkley kind of gave him a little shot of adrenaline in the arm. So, hopefully, moving forward. Because the Giants franchise, and I'm supposed to hate them because, you know, they've beaten my Patriots twice in the Super Bowl. I got a lot of respect for the Giants because, for whatever reason, they stay out of a lot of drama, at least up until lately they have. So, hopefully, they can fix things with a great player like Saquon and Odell and some other places. But, we talked about Tony Gonzalez.
We did.
You know, and arguably the greatest tight end of all time. I think he's number one. Gronkowski can be 1B. But Champ Bailey was also someone from your Denver Broncos.
My boy, I always loved Champ. He's one of my favorite Broncos of all time. No, love Champ Bailey.
Champ Bailey, he was one of those guys. And he had an awesome name. Your name is Champ. Like, that's number one. You have one of those memorable names, one of those world be free type of name. So Champ Bailey, man, awesome shutdown corner for a lot of years for the Broncos.
Had one of the greatest interceptions
ever. Which one?
The 100-yard return against the Patriots.
Oh, yeah. You know, doesn't he have the most, like, 100-yard returns for something like that?
Well, I don't know about that, but I just remember the key play because the Pats were driving. Brady was Brady. Champ picks it and gets all the way down to the end. And what was that, the one where someone chased him down and the ball, like, maybe went out of the end zone, but he scored it?
Ooh.
I'm trying to remember. There's a bunch, but
he's had so many awesome plays, man. It's tough to tell. So Champ Bailey was one of the guys that went in, but my personal, you know, favorite of this whole Hall of Fame class is, in my opinion, the greatest strong safety of all time, and that is one Ed Reed, 2-time Super Bowl champion, I believe 9-time Pro Bowl, like 7-time All Pro. Like, Ed Reed is. You talk about a ball hawk. You talk about somebody that could lay a hat on you with that shoulder anytime. Like, tell me a more fearsome, strong safety than Ed Reed that's not named Troy Polamalu that you saw play.
Honestly, I can't think. Not more fearsome. I would say John Lynch was a good one, too. But
John Lynch was very good.
No one is better than Ed Reed.
No, Ed Reed.
In terms of recently.
Ed Reed was.
Maybe ever in terms of the safety.
No, I mean, from college to the professional level, man, Ed Reed could do, man, everything. There was nothing that dude couldn't do. They put him in on offensive plays a lot of the time when he was at Miami, and he could still make a million and a half plays. Ed Reed and Ray Lewis anchoring your defense, like, get out of here.
He was overlooked a lot, too, because of that, how good that defense was. Ray Lewis was the star of that defense, but you also had Suggs and other really good players. He was overlooked, I think, a lot of the time, but I think he was the key to that defense. He was so good. You didn't throw the ball to the side of the field that Ed Reed was covering as the safety.
No, it was almost impossible.
And it was the same thing with Champ Bailey. If Champ was on that side of the field, you weren't throwing him the ball. I remember I was reading here on the Football Hall of Fame website. Champ Bailey had a 2-season stretch where he had 18 interceptions over those 2 seasons, which was the most that had been over that stretch in 2 decades. And then the interceptions went away because they stopped throwing the ball to him. He locked down that side of the field. That's what Ed Reed did. He just played safety instead. He hit hard. He was great in run coverage as well. And I liked watching him play. He was a fun guy to watch.
Yo, Champ Bailey was definitely, and he's one of those guys, when we talk about corners, great corners, his name is often left off the list. You know, we like to talk about.
He was a quiet guy.
Yeah, we like to talk about Dion and, you know, the Dawkins and, you know, some of the other guys that were just really flashy. Corners and safeties and stuff. Like, I think Champ Bailey is one of those guys that, you know, even Richard Sherman, and you throw, you know, Patrick Peterson's name into that mix, we'd like to, you know, leave Champ Bailey out, and that's not cool. But one guy that does get left out, and I'm going to say probably rightfully so, he is a Patriot, and that is one Ty Law. Ty Law had a very good career as a Patriot, a marginal career other places, but when he was with New England, we kind of talked about it earlier, that defense in New England during Brady's, you know, first few runs was phenomenal. you know, like shut down everywhere. And Ty Law just happened to be one of those guys. That he didn't do a lot of things awesome. Like, he wasn't a great shutdown corner. You know, he wasn't really a ball hawk like that and was taking things out of the air. He wasn't a super hard hitter. He was just a really solid all-around cornerback, though. They didn't do anything special, but did everything really well.
Looking at the finalists that didn't make it in, John Lynch has been a finalist 6 times.
Which is crazy.
Still not elected to the Hall of Fame. Edgerrin James has been a finalist 3 times. Isaac Bruce has been a finalist 3 times. Tony Boselli has been a finalist 3 times. Alan Faneca, 4 times. Steve Atwater, former Broncos corner as well, 2-time finalist.
Can't believe that he hasn't got in yet.
I mean, there's a lot of those guys I can't believe they haven't gotten
in. Of all those guys, who's the most surprising? Because to me, it's John Lynch. Like,
oh, it's to me, it's John Lynch, but I think Isaac Bruce is a close second on that one, too. Bruce was really good.
Well, Lynch, you have to take into account now he's a GM, and he's what he's doing early in his GM career. Like, he's not just killing it as a safety. He's killing it as a GM.
Yeah. True.
Like, true this that. Guy is Hall of Fame
and
worthy.
On top of that, you know, this is, you know, John Lynch, from in my estimation, I mean, I'm trying to think, he's one of the better white safeties or white corner DBs that I've ever seen. I mean, I'm the Jason Sehorn. Like, I'm trying to think of a whole bunch of them that I don't really know of a lot of them that made it to the professional levels and were awesome. So, man, John Lynch definitely needs to be in there. Hard hitter.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us today. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Patriots-Rams 3:30. CBS today. You're going to hear Tony Romo.
Man, that's gold.
I love
broadcasting gold. I
he
love
is
him.
So good. You're going to hear him. You're going to have some good food, hopefully. If you're watching it by yourself, just hanging out, enjoy the game. We'll be back next week as Sports Sunday, as we will talk other sports, but we will recap the Super Bowl as well. Get into the trade deadline. Blazers chatter will probably just BS a little bit more as well, so keep an ear out for that. 9 to 11 every Sunday will be Sports Sunday until August once again. That'll do it for us today. Thanks so much for listening and interacting on the Better Eat Today text line 55305. Show is going to be podcasted. Les Schwab Tires podcast. 1080thefan.com afterwards. Appreciate it. Love you all. Enjoy the game.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
This one's for Pat! Arr.